from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 3 and 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So texts 3 and 4 we'll cover today. This chapter is entitled The Yoga of the Supreme Person. Chapter number 15. So I'll recite the verse and you can follow after me.
Narupamasyeha tathopalabhyate Nanto nachadir nachasam pratishtha Ashwatthamenam suvirudhamulam Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this tree, cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns. And there, surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything began, and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is now clearly stated that the real form of this banyan tree cannot be understood in this material world. Since the root is upwards, the extension of the real tree is at the other end. When entangled with the material expansions of the tree, one cannot see how far the tree extends, nor can one see the beginning of this tree. Yet one has to find out the cause. I am the son of my father is the son of such and such person, etc. By searching in this way, one comes to Brahma, who is generated by the Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. Finally, in this way, when one reaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the end of research work. One has to search out that origin of this tree, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through the association of persons who are in knowledge of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then by understanding, one becomes gradually detached from this false reflection of reality, and by knowledge, one can cut off the connection and actually become situated in the real tree. The word asanga is very important in this connection because the attachment for sense enjoyment and lording it over the material nature is very strong. Therefore, one must learn detachment by discussion of spiritual science based on authoritative scriptures. And one must hear from persons who are actually in knowledge. As a result of such discussion in the association of devotees, one comes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the first thing one must do is surrender to Him. The description of that place, having gone, one never returns to this false reflected tree, is given here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original root from whom everything has emanated. To gain favor of that Personality of Godhead, one has only to surrender. And this is a result of performing devotional service by hearing, chanting, etc. He is the cause of the extension of the material world. This has already been explained by the Lord Himself. Aham Sarvasya Prabho. I am the origin of everything. Therefore, to get out of the entanglement of this strong banyan tree of material life, one must surrender to Krishna. As soon as one surrenders unto Krishna, one becomes detached automatically from this material extension. Hare Krishna. So we'll continue with this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled The Yoga of the Supreme Person. So in the beginning of this chapter, we saw yesterday and the day before, and today also, a description of a tree is given. This world that we are living in is compared to an inverted tree, an upside down tree. Just like if we go to a river bank or a bank of a lake, and if we are standing at the edge, then we can see the reflection, and if there is a tree on the bank, then we can see the tree's reflection inside the water. Right? So on the bank, the tree is standing erect. The root is down, and the stem and the branches are pointing upwards towards the sky. But in the reflection, we see that the root is pointing upwards towards the ground. And all the branches and leaves and flowers are pointing downwards, inverted. So Krishna is comparing this world to that reflected tree. The tree that we see inside the water. So the existence of a reflection proves that there is something original. Right? Without something original, there cannot be a reflection. If someone is standing in front of a mirror, and if you see a reflection, that means the person is standing in front of the mirror. Without the person standing, there can be no reflection. Similarly, if this world is a reflection, that means we have to ask, what is the original? Right? So, everything in the reflection, whatever we see in the reflection, in the original we will see everything opposite. Whatever is present in the reflection will be there in the original, but in a different form, in a different direction. Some scientists call this different, the other world, the original, as anti-material. They are trying to investigate some kind of matter that behaves completely in the opposite direction of what we see matter in this world. They speculate, they think probably that matter, in that matter, the atoms and electrons and protons, they revolve in the opposite direction. In this world, electrons are rotating in certain direction. In that world, probably electrons are rotating in a different direction. Protons could be negative, electrons could be positive, something like that. So they think everything, there is an existence of this different world, anti-material world, where the elements of matter behave in a totally different way. So Krishna is also explaining this kind of world, where there is an original world of which this world is a reflection. That world Krishna describes it as the spiritual world. If this world is temporary, then that world is permanent. That world is eternal. This world has a beginning and an end. That world has no beginning and an end. This world was created with a purpose. There was no creation for that world. Everything there is permanent. Here there is birth, old age, disease and death. In that world, there is no birth, no disease, no old age and no death. Here there is miseries, different kinds of miseries. People are undergoing suffering in various ways. In that world, there is no misery. Everything is blissful. So that is the nature of that world, the spiritual world. Everything there is different. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki, Jai Shri Gopal ji ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki. So whatever we see in this world is also present in that world, but in a different form. So therefore Krishna in the Gita gives a small glimpse of that world, so that one can develop an attraction to go to that place. Nobody likes to suffer. Nobody likes to die. Nobody likes to grow old. Nobody wants to undergo any kind of miseries. Right? And we are trying to find out solutions to all these miseries in different ways. We are trying to advance technologically. We are trying to make various scientific advancements, developments, creating new inventions. All for what? So that we can relieve some kind of misery. Any technological advancement or scientific development is meant to solve a certain kind of problem. Right? We have the invention of electricity because there was the problem of darkness. We invented fan and air conditioning so that the problem of heat can be resolved. There is heater system so that the problem of cold can be solved. Right? So there are different kinds of problem, and we try to solve these problems by the help of various technological developments. But unfortunately, any kind of problem solution of this world leads to a greater problem. So therefore Krishna says, this world is a miserable world. This world is dukkhalayam and ashashvatam. This world is designed to give you miseries. And this world is temporary. Has a beginning and an end. So no matter what, how much ever we try to find happiness with various methods, it is going to end in misery. It may give us some temporary satisfaction, some temporary kind of enjoyment, but ultimately that same solution to the problem will lead to a greater kind of problem. And that will put us into greater amount of suffering. So we had this technological advancement and invention called the motor car. Right? So when the motor car was invented, it was believed that this is the greatest invention on the planet. You can travel from one place to another in a very short period of time. No animals required, no horse required. It was called horseless carriage. No pollution. But now, in 2010, we see the greatest challenge the scientists are facing is global warming. Why? All because of pollution caused by that invention called the motor car. Right? So, when an invention is made, it doesn't appear that it's a problem. How it can cause a problem. But later, after a few years, then we realize, oh my God, this is such a headache. How can we solve this problem? We had the invention of nuclear energy. That is also causing so much nuclear waste. And now, that's a big headache with the political leaders. How to tackle this nuclear waste? Because it is emitting so many radiations. And it is causing so many cancer-related diseases. So any kind of solution that we find in this world can never give a permanent solution. Can never be a lasting solution to the problem. Therefore, Krishna calls this world as dukkhalayam, a place of misery. And the best way to solve these problems is to simply get out. Just go out of this place. Just develop a desire to get out of this place and go to that place that is not having these problems. That's all we need to do. The information is already available in this Gita. Krishna is already giving a small description of that place that is free from all kinds of miseries. All we need to do is start desiring to go there and follow the required steps of going there. No need to struggle so hard that we spend all our life in trying to find problems of this world and to eventually find out ourselves being kicked out of this world. One day we all have to die. So no, even if we find a solution, what is the use? We have to die one day. Right? So therefore Krishna is encouraging us to seek out that place that is permanent and free from all kinds of miseries. That is the spiritual world. So we find many descriptions given in the Gita that gives the qualities and characteristics of the spiritual world. And Prabhupada in his purports elaborates on each quality so that we will start hankering, we will start getting that desire to slowly proceed towards that place. So in this verse, Asanga Shastrena Dridhena Chitva, Krishna is giving a description of this world. He is saying this world is an inverted tree. An inverted tree, in this inverted tree, we are all going downwards. This world is sometimes compared to a forest. Forest means you have no idea where to go. You are caught up. And you know how, you have no idea how to get out of this forest. So this tree also, it's such a huge tree, and when inverted, we are on one corner of the tree in some of the branches. We are caught up. And we don't know how to go to the root of the tree. It's such a big mess. We are caught up. It's a big network. So what is the solution? How to get out of this tree? So Krishna says, Asanga Shastrena Drudhena Chitva. With detachment and determination, we need to cut this tree. That is possible. Sometimes we have this rope and so many knots are there. And the knots have become so complicated that if you try to keep sorting out the knots, then there is no end. Gaat banta na. So it is so difficult to remove the knots. So what is the solution? If you want to remove all the knots, just cut it. Right? Similarly, life in this material world or this material world itself is so complicated that if you try to figure out how to come out and which branch to go on, which leaf to go, and then which stem to go, and finally I can reach the root, we can never figure it out. It is impossible. So Krishna advises that we should cut that tree. Just cut the tree. How? With detachment. Asanga Shastrena. So materialistic civilization means we go deeper and deeper into the forest of this tree. We have no idea where we are going and we think that is real advancement. Just like, for example, say we are traveling from the South Bombay to North Bombay, say from Churchgate to Borivali. We are traveling, or from Borivali to Churchgate, for example. We have a car and we are traveling from Borivali to Churchgate in the evening time, 6 o'clock. So if you are going on that highway, then you see that one side of the highway is totally free. The left side, there is no traffic. But on the other side, the road that comes from Churchgate to Borivali, it is completely jammed, traffic jam. So a person who is stuck in that jam, he hopes, oh, there is not much traffic. Maybe that signal turns green, everything will be cleared. And the person going on this side, on the other direction, towards Churchgate, he has a free road. He is going smoothly, at top speed. And he is seeing on the other side, such a huge line, huge traffic jam, extending to maybe 2 or 3 kilometers. Or maybe more. And he feels fortunate. Oh, I am safe. This road is so clear. And unfortunately, the people on the other side, they are stuck up. But a person who is stuck up there, he doesn't know the length of the traffic jam. He is thinking, oh, only a few vehicles. The next signal clears up, I will go. And then again, the signal clears, and he again stuck up. And again stuck up. And then he takes hours together to reach his home. So that's our position in this material world. We are stuck up in a place and we think, oh, what is so complex about it? Everything is so nice. I am enjoying life and everything is going so smoothly. And let this small problem is there, I will tackle that problem, and then everything is cool, everything is smooth. And we have no idea that one problem leads to another greater problem and then more complex problem. Life becomes more and more complicated. But a person who has taken up the devotional service and who has the knowledge of the scriptures, he understands, his life is like traveling on the other side of the road towards church gate. He has a free road and he is driving so fast and he is seeing the other people stuck up in the traffic jam. So therefore he advises, please take to this path. Please get this knowledge of the Shastras where you can get out of the traffic jam completely. So a person in spiritual knowledge, he realizes how it is so entangling life in the material world is. It just gets more and more complicated. I remember when I had gone to Ahobilam. Ahobilam is the place of Lord Narasingadev, Narasingadev's appearance in Andhra Pradesh. It is a very dense forest consisting of 9 temples, Narasingadev temples, all situated on different hilltops. So, unless you have a guide who can guide you to different temples, one will definitely get lost. So somehow we had gone there, and I had traveled there for 2 or 3 times, so I thought maybe the road is quite familiar to me, I can go alone. So I, along with 2 or 3 devotees, we went, started climbing the mountain. We reached the top, and while coming down, it appeared familiar, the road appeared familiar. But at one point of time, we had to take a turn, and then I got lost. Because the rains had come and some bushes had grown, so I couldn't recognize which road to take and which was the other road. So somehow I took the wrong turn, and for 10-15 minutes I kept traveling deeper and deeper into the forest. And then I realized, oh, it is lost. Somehow we had a local devotee who was from Ahobilam, and then by looking at the sun's position and the sun's movement, he could figure out which is the correct way and how to come back to the origin. The point is, if we are not guided, if you are not guided by the scriptures and saintly people, then life in the material world is like traveling in an unknown forest. We think, oh, everything is so nice, there is a clear road, let me walk and I will easily reach my destination. But the more we travel on that path, the more deeper and deeper we are going into a complicated network from where there is no scope of coming out. So material advancement means advancement of material civilization is going deeper and deeper into the forest without any proper goal, without any proper direction where life is meant to be directed. What is the real goal of my life? What am I supposed to do? When these goals are not our priority, then we just keep getting entangled. And once we realize that I am entangled, it may be too late to come out. Therefore, scriptures urge us, now that you have got a human form of life, please take to spiritual life. Please take to Krishna consciousness and start coming out of this entanglement. Don't remain entangled in this material world. Make your destination the spiritual world, the place that is free from all kinds of misery. So just as the reflection of this tree is upside down, everything is topsy-turvy in this world. Especially in Kali Yuga, this modern age, people will start thinking that religion, real religious principles is all irreligion, is all useless. There are some people who condemn temple worship, deity worship, thinking it is all useless, bogus. And irreligion will be considered religion. All kinds of bogus gurus and swamis will take prominence people will start worshipping them as God. People will follow their own speculated forms of worship. People will worship any hero, any mundane sports star or film star, and they will start considering him God. Good character will be considered useless. And people who have real character will be considered cheaters. And people who can cheat others, exploit nicely, they will be considered very expert. And they will become the real leaders. People who have real knowledge will be considered fools. And people who can speak nicely using word jugglery, they will be considered very learned. Kali Yuga especially, prices of essential commodities like food grains, milk and all, this will go up. Very high prices. And the prices of non-essential commodities, they will keep coming down. At one point of time, laptops and computers were charging more than 50,000. Now you get it? 15,000, 10,000. Right? As if that is required for your survival. And prices of grains, fruits, going higher and higher and higher. So any essential commodity, those prices will go up. And all non-essential commodities, useless commodities, not completely useless maybe, but not essential for our survival, those things, their prices will come down. So everything in this material world is upside down, topsy-turvy. But what we need to learn from this characteristic of this material world is that there is a spiritual world where everything exists in its original form. And that's the place where we need to go. So why Krishna describes this material world as a place of misery? Some people may argue that you all religious people, you are too pessimistic. You think that everything in this world is bad. You have such a negative conception of life. You are not very optimistic. So we need to understand what is real optimism, what is real pessimism. If you have a car that is designed to go at maximum 100 kilometers per hour, you cannot be foolishly optimistic and think that, okay, by my optimistic attitude, I can drive this car at 150 kilometers per hour. Is there optimism? That is foolishness. No matter how hard you try, you cannot go above 100 kilometers. Because the manufacturer has designed that car to run at 100 kilometers. So optimism will not help all the time. We need to be realistic. What's the best optimum capacity of the vehicle? Similarly, Krishna, the designer of this world, has designed this place as Dukhalayam, a place of misery. So if someone is trying to find happiness, permanent happiness in this world, it's foolishness. No, that is not the nature of this world. That's not how the designer has designed this world. This world is designed to give us misery, so that we develop a detachment. We develop detachment from this world. If everything is peaceful and happy, then no one will want to come out of this world. And no one will then hanker to go to the spiritual world. So therefore, there is a purpose why this place is designed to be miserable. And if someone is trying to find out happiness desperately, then it is not going to be possible. One needs to be intelligent enough that no matter how hard I try, I will continue to remain miserable to some extent. I may find some kind of happiness, temporary happiness, but that happiness will always be temporary. It can never give me permanent satisfaction. So, we need to be pessimistic about life in this material world. We don't want to be foolishly optimistic. Oh, everything is positive, life is positive, life is so good. There was one famous Bollywood actress who was giving some seminar on positive attitude. And she said, be positive. It is not just a blood group. Be positive is not just a blood group. You need to be really positive. So we don't want to be, yes, we want to be positive, but we don't want to be positive about life in this material world. We want to be positive about going back to spiritual world. That is real optimism. So yes, we are optimistic about life in the spiritual world and we are pessimistic about life in this material world. That is a realistic approach towards God and His creation. Both are His creation. The material world and the spiritual world, both are His creation. So, how can we develop a detachment from this world? Life is said to be an examination, a preparation for the examination of death. So we need to prepare ourselves. At the time of death, we will be tested. How many attachments we have towards this world? Are we fully detached? If we are, then we are qualified to enter into the spiritual world. If we are not, then we have to keep coming here and again until we develop that complete detachment. Having no attachments for anything of any kind of life in this material world. So how can we understand? How can we develop asanga shastrena dridhena chitva? How can we develop that real detachment? By understanding the miserable nature of this world. That is the first step. This world is full of miseries. There is birth, there is death, there is old age, there is disease. All these are miserable situations imposed on the living entity, forcibly. No one wants to grow old, no one wants to die, no one wants to be diseased. But all these things are forced upon us. So when we understand that this world is a miserable place, then we start developing detachment. Just like a person in the prison house, if he is in the jail, life in a jail is not very comfortable. He has to undergo so many punishments, so many kinds of hard labor. And when he is totally miserable, then he starts desiring, oh, my home outside the jail was so nice, so comfortable. And then he starts reforming his character so that the jail authorities can release him, the government can release him, and he can resume his normal life. So we need to understand that this world is a miserable place. Life is not very happy and cool. That is one way to develop detachment from this world. Next step is by developing a positive attraction towards the spiritual world. In the Vedic literatures, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam and other kinds of scriptures, there are vivid descriptions in great detail given about the nature and life of the spiritual world. How the spiritual world is so attractive, so enchanting, and the devotees are there completely non-envious, full of love for the Supreme Lord. How Krishna's dealings are so sweet and charming. How his activities are so beautiful. How he kills so many demons, how he reciprocates with love and devotion with his devotees. All these descriptions are given in the scriptures. And when we hear that, we feel that we are being invited to go there. Krishna is calling us, please come and join me. Why are you struggling here in this material world? So we need to constantly hear these kind of stories and pastimes and descriptions of the spiritual world, life in the spiritual world. And when we constantly hear that, we start developing a kind of attraction. Yes, I want to be a part of that. I don't want to continue life in this miserable world. So when we constantly hear that, we develop an attraction. Just like a person in the prison house, he starts remembering, oh, my life outside, in my home, I had so many friends and family members. I had so many loving dealings and reciprocation with so many people outside the jail. Now I am inside the jail and I have lost connection with every one of them. So when he starts remembering and starts desiring those kind of relationships, he starts developing detachment about life in the prison house. He may have many friends and relatives inside the prison house, because he is living there, he has to continue those relationships as long as he is there in the prison house. But deep inside, he is cultivating that desire. When will I go out? When can I be a part of my original family? That's what Krishna is trying to tell us. Please, you are all part of the spiritual world. You had a loving relationship with me at one point of time. You have cut that relationship and now you are here, struggling with the threefold miseries of life. Please start developing a desire to come here. So when we hear these beautiful pastimes described in the spiritual world, we develop that attachment. We develop the attraction to go back to our original home, back to Godhead. Another way of developing detachment is by performing certain kind of austerities. Rishabh Dev, in his instructions to his 100 sons in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he is telling, Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Sattvam. This human life is meant for performing austerities. Austerities in the form of, say, fasting on certain days, following the four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds. All these kinds of austerities we need to perform seriously. And this helps us disconnect ourselves from the bodily attachment. And finally, a very powerful method of developing attraction and faith towards life in the spiritual world is by associating with people who already have that faith, who are already trying to go to the spiritual world, who already have a goal of going back home, back to Godhead. If we are alone and trying to practice spiritual life, then it becomes very difficult. Our determination decreases. And so we may even start questioning the existence of the spiritual world. We may start doubting. Sachmuch hai gaya sab? Is it really there? Who knows? Who has seen this? But when we are associating with people who already have strong faith about the process. Faith in Krishna, faith in the spiritual world, faith in spiritual activities. When we associate with such people, then we also start developing that faith. And with faith, we start performing the activities of spiritual life. And if we can continue to maintain those activities throughout our life, and as Krishna promises, at the end of life, if we can remember Him, then we go back to Him, back to the spiritual world. So, we need to understand that life in this material world is temporary. Just like if you are traveling in a train, for example. You're traveling from Bombay to, say, a long distance train, Bombay to Howrah. It takes more than 30 hours. Right? So if you are in the train, as soon as we get into the train, and once we are settled inside the train, we start, developing friendship with the co-passengers, because we need to spend a long time in the train. We make friends with the other people, and we keep discussing about our life, our job, our activities, our hobbies, so on and so forth. Because we need to continue a long time in the train, so something we need to do. So we develop a kind of relationship with people inside the train, inside our compartment. But when the destination reaches, we don't say, oh, you are my best friend, I don't want to separate, oh, I can't separate, and we start crying. Do we? We don't do that. Right? Because we know these relationships are temporary. And it's temporary. I need to come out of the train and go to my real place where I am supposed to go. Similarly, life in this world is a journey, starting from birth till death. And in the meantime, we make so many relationships. We meet so many people and we have so many dealings with so many kinds of, so many interactions. But we should not take all those relationships so seriously that we forget where we need to go. We take it so as much seriously as we need to continue life in the material world, because we are here and we have a certain amount of time to complete the journey till death. So some interactions are required. We need to have some relationship with people, because life in the material world has to continue. So whatever is minimum required, we do that. But at the time of death, if we are too attached with all those relationships and objects and things of this material world, then it becomes really painful at the time of death. And we will not be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. We will remember those relationships, those objects and those things which we are attached to. And even if there is slightest attachment to any object in this world, we have to come back. So therefore, we need to develop that real detachment. As Krishna says here, asanga shastrena drudhena chitva. We need to cut down all attachments, because death can come any time. Any moment death can come. And if you are not prepared thoroughly, then it is going to be very painful. The more attached we are to this world, proportionately it will be more painful at the time of death. So that is the whole process of spiritual life. The whole process of Krishna consciousness. Developing a detachment from this material world and simultaneously developing a positive attachment to Krishna and Krishna's activities, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's form and Krishna's worship. And when we are perfect in our attachment to Krishna, then our life is successful. So I'll stop here. If anyone has any question, we can take one or two. Granthrash, yes, Prabhu. Yeah, my God.
So even though we realize that this is a temporary place and one should not get attached, but then there are certain things that we need to do,
yeah,
just for sustenance. On top of that, if we have to remain detached with this material world and still do the things that we are required to do, it will become really a ordeal to carry on from day to day. So is there any solution to avoid that kind of tedium, but still carry on with this life and do the needful?
The same example that I gave, traveling in a train, on a long distance train. Do we immediately start quarreling with the people inside the train? We don't, right? We know we have to travel for 30-35 hours. And it is essential that we need to do some basic things and some basic interactions with people inside the train, with co-passengers. Whatever minimum is required, we do. But we never forget to get down of the train. Right? We always know that once we reach my destination, I have to get down. And the other person is also convinced that he is going to get down at some point of time. Right? So whatever minimum is required, we do. That is with detachment. When the destination comes, we don't say, oh, I am too attached to this person, let me continue my journey in the train. We don't do that. So that's the art of spiritual life. Or that's the art of working. So unfortunately, the problem with this materialistic civilization is we forget the destination. And when the destination comes, we forget to get down. So therefore we need to be surrounded by people who can remind us, my dear sir, this is your destination, please get down. But we stubbornly stick, no, let me continue, this relationship is too important for me, how can I cut down, this is my responsibility, I have so many assets, I have so many responsibilities, so many things to be done. So all we need to do is just keep bombarding ourselves with the scriptural instructions, with association of the right people who can remind us continuously. And Krishna also gives us warnings in between. Old age is a warning, disease is a warning. And we need to take those warnings seriously. And without making life more complicated, more into this mess, we need to keep our life as simple as possible. That makes it easier. That makes it more easier to cut down those attachments at the time of death. That has to come. There is no other choice. We have no other choice. So association of devotees is a very strong tool, very strong method by which we can remain detached and continue working with whatever is required, with the minimum requirements. Does that address your question? Anyone else? Anything more? Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.